Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health, and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to envision world healing, world peace, having food and water distributed to all on our planet. At this time, notice your thoughts. Release any thought of the future or the past and presence yourself to right now. Envision bright light moving up your spinal pathway, like a spinning disc, lighting up your spinal column all the way up, in through the back of your neck, the back of your head, and the top of your head. Placing your attention right now on the point between your eyebrows. Know that I speak these words for me and for you in the I person. There is one presence, one power, one God. It is the fullness of wisdom, creativity, and unconditional love. Being omnipresent, it expresses not only around me, but in me, through me, and as me, in all ways, for all ways. Right here and now, I dive more deeply than ever before in developing spiritual musculature and embodying, living what I say I believe. I realize I am teachable, ready, willing, and able to be informed, to be instructed, and having the power sufficient to experience and express my divine spiritual potential. I willingly release any and all blocks to guidance, the divine wisdom I am immersed in. That is my very life. Being desirous of miracles, I consciously claim and feel and practice the life that I truly deserve and desire. Today, I risk moving from the budding of a new me to the full blossoming of who I really am intrinsically. A whole, complete, perfect, spiritual, divine expression of the infinite. I'm so very thankful of each person gathered here in spiritual community. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. Most of all, I'm thankful for life itself. And so it is, and it is so. Thank you. My topic this morning is entitled Being Teachable. Being Teachable. It's part three of a five-part series called Bridges to Transformation. And I'm using as my resource material Marianne Williamson's latest book, A Gift of Change. Just want to give you a little bit of a review of what we've covered in the last 2 weeks. The first topic was from forgetting to remembering. From forgetting to remembering. And I covered 3 points. Importantness of asking the question of what I addressed in the meditation, and am I really willing to live what I say I believe? Am I willing to live what I say I believe and to embody that? And then I said, it isn't easy to birth our full spiritual potential, but it can be simple as applying basic principles to everything that we do. And as we do those 2 things that I mentioned, we can be conduits for channels of the miraculous. Last week, my topic was from negative thinking to positive loving. And I made the statement that we don't get karmic amnesty from any of our thoughts. We don't get karmic amnesty from any of our thoughts. And the invitation was to develop our spiritual musculature, much like we develop our physical muscles, by practice. By practice. And also to know that the ultimate justice is God's, and there is no punishment, but there is the law of cause and effect, and there's always consequences, always consequences. So today's topic, being teachable, many times I look up very simple words in the dictionary because it's interesting to see what the dictionary has to say. To teach, to instruct, to inform, to make familiar with the practice, giving instruction. And able is to be capable, having the power sufficient. So being teachable, being, having, knowing, admitting, realizing that we are capable, we have the power sufficient to be instructed, to be informed, to have a better, more enriched life. So three things I want to address this morning in being teachable. First of all, being teachable requires that we make some changes in our life from time to time. And sometimes these changes, as the reading that I addressed before the meditation, sometimes it requires us to travel deeply into ourselves, to really look deep within. And I'll get back to that. Number two, the Christ consciousness that dwells within each one of us is a newborn self and is here for us to fully express and experience our divine intrinsic potential with no barriers to our full self-expression, no barriers to the love at the core that we really are. And number three, if we are desirous of miracles in our life, or a miracle, are we willing to consciously claim and feel it first? Are we willing to do that? Of course, a miracle says there's no order of difficulty. Miracles has no order of difficulty. Sometimes we think that a miracle has to be something really big and earth-shattering. No, Jesus the Christ didn't say, I have fixed the world. He did say, I've overcome the world. Fixing the world would be like trying to change a movie by manipulating the movie screen. Well, we think that's really silly. It would be like if we're having a bad hair day. Has anybody ever had one of those? I know I've had. You look in the mirror and you take your comb and brush and you try to fix it in the mirror. None of us would do that. So enlightenment is not so much about learning, but it's about unlearning. And some people would rather die than shift, change, unlearn, or learn some things, which is unfortunate. Cells of embryos are programmed to develop into a baby. We intrinsically are programmed to develop into a more magnificent life than we could possibly perhaps even know at this time, that we could possibly even imagine. However, some people refuse. Some people don't even think of that. Some people are unconscious to it. So whenever we have an idea or an attitude, the attitudes do come from ideas, the attitude of attacking or defending something, we are deflecting love from ourselves and we're not experiencing and expressing the love of who we really are. So another profound question, I always like to at least point one or two questions throughout any of my topics on Sunday. Another profound question that we could ask ourselves is, what am I doing or not doing to allow that is enabling or allowing fear rather than love to prevail here? Of course, this is in a situation that you perceive is not working well, or you'd kind of rather not have it in our life. What am I doing or not doing to allow fear rather than love to prevail here? I said earlier we need to travel deeply, especially when we're willing to change, and that takes courage. Many times people would rather hide than heal. And some people hide their whole life. When we think about healing, when we think about being teachable, it's very important that we touch on and have a great understanding of what our own personal image of God is. Some people have an image of God, have created an image in their mind of being an angry God, a judgmental God. And if they have that kind of an image, those people are very unlikely to go to the source, to the infinite presence and power, to God, whatever you want to call it, with their pain and with their woundedness, if they think that God is a judge rather than a healer. So it's very important for us to look at, what is my idea of God? Is it about love? Is it about anger, judgment, vengefulness? Or is it about forgiveness, healing, wholeness, and love? The miracle of traveling deep is we can have a personal transformation with that. And how we do that, and I like the way Marianne Williamson says it in her book, The Gift of Change. She talks about saying, naming it and surrendering and then asking for removal. Asking for removal. See, the infinite wisdom, that's our spiritual focus this month in October, spiritual wisdom, infinite wisdom that resides intrinsically in us, that's God wisdom within us, cannot remove it if we aren't willing to release it. Now, sometimes people hang on to their stuff like barnacles, like this, you know? And it's like, and all over again, you know? She uses some interesting languaging. She says it's not good enough to get naked with God once in a while. We need to get naked with God every day, and she's not talking about undressing our clothes. And she is. It's like when we stand in front of a mirror naked, full length. I don't know how many of you have ever done that. Sometimes people would shy away from that. Do we like and love what we see? As a temple of the Holy Spirit. So about healing rather than hiding. Getting naked with God is also opening ourselves completely and showing some parts of us that may be considered dark. Now, when I said naming, surrendering, asking for removal, and being willing to release and not to block any wisdom or guidance that wants to come through, we could say it like this: infinite Holy Spirit. And we're not talking about a spirit out there. We're talking about the spirit of wholeness within us. Infinite God, infinite Holy Spirit, lift me out of this. And you name it. You name what it is. Underneath it all, you know, A Course in Miracles always says there's only one problem. Only one problem. Therefore, only one solution. And the problem is that we might have a sense of separation. I didn't say we have separation. I said we have the sense of separation. We have the thought that we're separate from our Creator. We have the thought that we're separate from each and every one of ourselves, other people. So we name it. So even if we might not even have a name for what the challenge is, we know underneath it, there's a thought that I'm separate. So, you know, naming it, surrendering it to it, being willing to let any sense of separation go, and ask for removal. You can ask for removal of any pain that might be going along with it. Have you ever thought that you're not enough? That you're maybe not good enough? Sometimes people, I hope no one here in the audience has thought themselves as bad, wrong, a failure, that they can't escape from their mistakes. All those kinds of things, if they have thoughts like that, it's good to name it and then be willing to release it. And to be in the inquiry, into the asking, saying, God, you know, I somehow sometimes don't sense that I can do this by myself, of my own self, small self, but of the large S-E-L-F. That's why we're called the Center for Self-Awareness, because we're speaking about the large S-E-L-F, God presence and power that we are an expression of, self. Be aware of who we really are as spiritual beings. Who among us hasn't detoured sometime into fear? Marianne Williamson says this, and please don't take offense to it, because I think this is a wonderful way of saying it. She says, Tell your fears to go to hell because that's where they came from in the first place. And hell isn't a place. It's a state of consciousness. It's when we're not aware that we're expressions of God. It's when we're not aware that we're connected to each other intrinsically through love. So tell it where to go. So when I said earlier that the Christ consciousness within us wants to truly be birthed within us, is waiting to be a newborn expression in and through us. So that consciousness can use our mistakes as well as our successes in us unfolding and becoming who we're really meant to be. And you know, it's interesting, God always brings the situation around again and again and again until we kind of get it, because we have another opportunity in that. And sometimes it comes like this. Sometimes it comes like this. I don't want to break the podium, but you get what I mean. And sometimes it comes like that, like crashing down. But we always have an opportunity to get it. Lessons always reappear with higher stakes until we learn them. So it's not that we kinda, sorta embrace mystical reality. Being teachable and living a spiritual life is believing in an invisible reality that affects our visible reality. We know that. So what are just a few ways? You know, we could do a whole workshop on activating Christ consciousness, but it's certainly about remembering who we are. How does it show up in real life? Some of us may have had the thought one time to say something unkind about someone to someone else. Remembering who we really are would be to remember that what we do to others is what we do to ourselves. And of course the rule, do unto others as you would want to have them do unto you. It's not only about doing. Say about others what you would want them to say about you. Think about others as you would want them to think about you. In your imagination, visualize others as you would like them to visualize you. Do you think that would create a wonderful remembering? I think so. Another place of remembering is when we're complaining. Always underneath a complaint is a request that we're not saying. But another deeper, you know, I said travel deep earlier, travel deep. If we have a complaint, another good, powerful question for us to ask is, what am I not contributing to the situation? And instead, maybe just standing back and having our complaint be heard. Definitely shifting from the past and the future to living presently, right now, right now, right now, right now. Remembering about Christ consciousness within us wanting to express is really being conscious of what we say after we say, I am. Do you remember the last time you said, I am? And what did you say after it? Don't look for the insert now, but hopefully you will take it home. It's blue. It looks like this. There's a whole bunch of I ams, not a complete list, but wonderful list to perhaps Say to yourselves after your quiet time and your meditation, to say to yourself very quietly these different I ams, or even whispering or saying out loud. I can guarantee you, after you just go through down one of the columns, you will feel a sense of upliftment in your spirit. You know, our brain chemistry and our hormones and an array of mental and physical functions respond to every thought we think. So how important it is to really be consciously aware of what we say after I am. So that's part of claiming and feeling the miracle. Sometimes when I do workshops, I say to them, you know, you have a goal or a vision or a desire, and you can even articulate it. Maybe you can mark it down. Maybe you can visualize it. But are you willing to, in the now, move in? Like move into it? And live your life out of it right now? I don't know how many of you are hockey fans, but my husband, who died last year, was a great hockey fan. And when we lived in Edmonton, Wayne Gretzky just lived up the road from us when he was in Edmonton and on the Oilers. And he, when he was interviewed, he said something very interesting. He said, I go where the puck is going to be. That's amazing. That's new thought. So do we go where where it's going to be? Do we go in consciousness? Do we set it up for ourselves ahead of time? How a meeting is going to be? How you're going to be with your friends? How you're going to be with your parents? How it's going to be for you? And then move in. Go there. Go where it's going to be. In consciousness, but always in the moment. You're always in the moment as you're doing that. Practice the life that you desire. Here's another question. If life were what you really, 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 really wanted it to be today, in all aspects, how would you think? What would you do? Where would you go? How would you handle yourself? How would you be with people? And how would you be with yourself? Now here's the thing. Sometimes we share a dream, and I know I've certainly had this. I know it was when I said we're going to move to Victoria and start a new thought center. Sometimes people kind of say it in different ways. To me, they said, you're going to do what? But it's kind of like, maybe not voiced, but it's like this. How dare you? How dare you think that way or want to do that? Especially, you know, like this is something, you know, big for you. But for every one person that says, how dare you, there's two people who will go yay and two people who will say, thank you for showing me how. For being an example, and what an opportunity that is. So whatever pain we might feel, if another has a negative reaction to us spreading our wings, it's nothing compared to the pain that we cause ourselves when we clip our wings. One of my favorite quotations is from Ananias Nin. And this is it. And the day came when the risk it took to remain tight in the bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom. And one of my spiritual mentors, Roy Eugene Davis, says this: forget about negative opinions that others might express about you. Go forward in your life. Go forward in your life. I remember seeing a minister that was saying something that somebody didn't agree with, and there was a heckler in the audience, a heckler, you know, and shouting out. It was a woman minister, and she stopped and she said, "Thank you. I love you more than you love me." How great. How great. I thought that was great. So in conclusion, birthing, creativity, and spiritual quest can be audacious if you allow it. If you're willing to be teachable. If you're willing to allow the gift of change in your life. Just one little last story. Marianne says that she was talking to a 57-year-old acquaintance, and he said, "I think I'm just waiting to die." And I went like that, because I'm more than 57. And she said, "Well, I'm not. I took the other road, and I'm busy being reborn." I like that. I want to close with this story, and I sometimes save it for workshops, but because I knew that they were going to have lovely young women here, I wanted to share this story. There's an enormous redwood tree in the Sequoia National Park in California. This is true. The tree is called General Sherman. It is, now get this, 276 feet tall, taller than a 25-story building. That's a pretty big tree, okay? It's 35 feet 9 inches across. So if we took 17 large men or women, and they held their hands like this, that's how many it would take to go around the tree, like that. Are you getting how big it is? The lumber in this tree has enough, or rather the lumber that could come from this tree could build, how many houses do you think? 300 five-room houses. Can you imagine that? I was amazed when I read this story. It's almost 3,000 years old. Now, what I'd like you all to do is just take your hand and just crease it just a little bit like this and look at that little crease that you're making in your hand. Now, that tree came from a seed that fit into the crease of your hand. Isn't that amazing? Now, do you think the creator of the universe would give more potential to a tree than the creator would give to you and me? No. So whenever you think that you can't, or I'm not good enough, or I might fail, or they might not like me, or I might not be accepted, just look at your hand and make a little crease. And remember the potential that God gave that tree, gave far more for you and I. Thank you for presencing yourself here this morning. God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. Namaste. Thank you.